Next case is 98-2630 Marie B. Wolf versus George L. Wolf.
You're quicker than that. Do you want this to be a new policy or a renewal policy?
Well,
I read and read and read page after page after page of cases in your brief, and I'm not sure where you end up, frankly.
Well, in this particular case, we have a new policy every 2 years.
Okay.
And the renewal is every 6 months you have a renewal.
Okay, and that seems to be what the statute says. So you want this policy to what? Run from December 12, 1993?
That's correct. And we go 2 years.
Okay. So everything within the 6 month period, and their position apparently is that they want every 6 month renewal to be a new policy.
That's correct.
I went and got my own out, and it says at the top renewal certificate. And it says that for all the years that I've been getting it, apparently, a renewal certificate. So I don't even know what I have, and I wanted to be sure I understood what your argument was, but I understand it now, and I understand the statute. Thank you.
I don't understand the statute, so would you explain it to me? It's not quite so simple for me.
All you got to do is read it.
Yeah, right, I read it.
This is the Consumer Protection Statute, what we're dealing with here. And what this Consumer Protection Statute is, it does two things. Basically, one way to use the Protection Statute. And it says that there is a protection for a substantive matter. The second part of 3937-31A says that you can't change named insured's policy coverage or policy limits during that 2 year period of time. The second aspect of the statute says that you have a time protection. Because without either one of those, you no longer have consumer protection. If you have the substantive protection, but it's only good for 1 day, that's not real consumer protection. By the same token, if you have 2 years worth of protection and you're not protecting anything substantive, that's not real consumer protection. So the statute does both. It gives us a 2 year period, and it gives us a certain amount of substantive protections during that 2 year period. And where the court has gotten confused here, I think what this court has to clarify at this point, I think I've already done so, but not as maybe clearly as something the Courts of Appeals would like. And that is to declare that we've got a statute that says that you've got a 2 year policy period. At that point, that statute is incorporated into the contract. Now, well, Ross, we've argued that before, and this court has all accepted that. And the problem is we've got a number of courts of appeals that keep wanting to go back to this principle of pure contract law. Starts with Benson, and it goes to Francis and a number of other cases that are cited by the defendants. And if you want to break out the cases, they basically break out, you've got pure contract cases. Then you've got essentially what this court has done in Hillier versus Great American and in Hoskins, and basically said that you've now got a statutory issue. And the contract, no matter what it says, cannot contradict what the statute says. And that's essentially our position here today. Is that once you have a consumer protection statute that says that you've got protection for 2 years, and therefore you've got a 2 year contract, it should not matter at all what the contract says. It shouldn't matter whether you have a Benson policy, it shouldn't matter whether you've got any other type of policy. Because once you've got the statute, that's incorporated into the contract, and the contractual provisions cannot contradict what the statute says. Now, I think that this court has already essentially adopted that position. As a matter of fact, even in the Wolf Court of Appeals case, the court said, well, yeah, statute's good for the first 2 years. So even the Court of Appeals in that case, in this case in particular, is agreeing there are a number of courts of appeals, including Farmer versus Deeds and what have you, that have taken essentially the compromise position that the statute is good for the first 2 years of the statute. And that's good
seems to not give us a whole lot of direction on that. That's correct.
Well,
you think it does, but I think you can debate that. Isn't that a debatable issue?
Well, not according to the new decision that I spent at this court, which is the Moroni case.
The fifth district.
That's correct. You,
additional authority, and it's right on, isn't it?
That's exactly right, Your Honor.
Takes it step by step, Judge Farmer does.
Exactly. And I think if you read the statute, it says every policy. I don't know how it can be any more clear than that. I mean, it doesn't say the first 2 years. It doesn't say the initial. It says every one. So I don't know how we can read it any other way in terms of statutory interpretation. And in terms of total policy, if you want to take a look at that, we have a serious problem just taking a look at the first 2 years. What kind of consumer protection statute is this going to be if people buy their policies, as most of us do, and keep the same insurance company, and they would like to keep it, of course, when they sell their policies? Nationwide and State Farm and Allstate want you to stay with them forever. What kind of consumer protection is it going to be? They only have protection for the first 2 years, and then 2 years and a day, you've got nothing left. That is not going to be enough. Well, you don't have any protection under the two-year doctrine. You don't have the time period protection, and you don't have any substantive protection, which is essentially what that consumer protection statute does, as I started in my introduction. What protects insurance companies at this point, and essentially it's a compromise, is you've got a two-year period. If the insurance company decides to renew you after the first two-year period, then they're going to be bound for another two-year period. Now, if they don't want to renew you after the first 2 years...
And that's a new policy.
That's a new policy. That's absolutely correct.
Does it have to change number?
No, not at all.
Does it have to change number of insurers?
No.
Cars?
No.
Coverages?
No.
It's a new policy.
Absolutely, every 2 years.
That's what the statute says.
That's what the statute says. And we've got to protect it for insurance companies. I mean, the argument has been made, well, that binds insurance companies forever. They've got to keep some of these policies. There's no way they can get rid of some of them. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
After the first 2 years, if they don't want to sell the policy to that person, basically tell them for whatever reason, we don't want to sell you insurance, go find another company. And they're off the hook at that point. But what it does is it provides 2 years of protection. And if the insurance company decides after the first 2 years to renew the policy, then they're stuck for another 2 years. Now, the compromise the statute does says the insurance company is not stuck as far as premiums. There is nothing to prevent the insurance company from every 6 months changing the premium. And that's why the statute reads the way it does.
When you say they're stuck for another 2 years, I'm not following.
It means we've got guaranteed coverage for the consumer. They cannot change the main insured, they cannot change the policy limits, and they cannot change the amount of coverage for a 2 year block of time.
And they can't cancel you.
They can't cancel you unless they do it the right way, of course.
Right.
The insurance company does have an out, but they have to get properties.
And can they modify any of the provisions of the contract when you pay your premium?
Yes, you can modify several different provisions, particularly premiums. I mean, all of us, I'm sure, properly pay on a 6 month basis. Yeah, we see our premium change all the time.
You frequently get included with the bill some provisions.
Policy limits or named insurance, they can't do that. That's what the housing case says, that's what the property case says, and that's what the statute says. This time I'd like to defer some time to the legal counsel.
Thank you, Mr. Rubenberg. Ms. Rosenthal.
My name is Sandra Rosenthal. I represent the Biggest Cry of Ohio County of Trial Lawyers. And I hope I'm not going to repeat Mr. Rosenberg's argument. What I'm going to focus on is the Benson decision. The amicus is requesting that the Honorable Court revisit its decision in Benson. The issue is Benson's position that certain automobile insurance contracts renewable every 6 months constitute separate 6 months contracts. This contravenes the principle enunciated in laws that the statutory law is effect at the time the contract is entered into is incorporated into the terms of the contract. The statute in question here is Ohio's cancellation statute, which specifically states that it applies to every automobile insurance policy. That statute provides the protections set forth by Mr. Rosenberg in his argument to every automobile insurance contract, not just certain contracts. And I think it needs to be emphasized that this has caused confusion among the courts as to when they should apply the language of the contract, when they should apply the statute. So a lot of courts absolutely ignore the statute. It is our position that the contract, because it incorporates the statutory language, any language contradicting the terms of the provisions of the statute is null and void as against public policy.
As I recall, I dissented in Benson, and I think I was the only one here at that time. But to be fair about it, Benson really, and I went back and looked at it again, and what the majority decision does is goes from term to new to limited or something, but they interchange the terms. And when you see them now in the context of these decisions, they become clear, the difference between new and renewal. Isn't that really what happened in Benson? Benson doesn't really necessarily take the position that either of you say it says, does it?
I'm sorry, can you hear me?
It doesn't really take this position, stand for the proposition that either of you say. One wants to argue that it says that the six-month renewal is a new policy. The other says it's a renewal. What it says is, if it's a new policy, if it's a new number and new something else, it becomes a new policy. And that's all Benson decided, really.
Okay. Well, we looked at the results in Benson, and that is how we came to our conclusion. But there is a distinction, and this is what is good, that is good law in Benson, that was set forth in Ross, that stated that if there is a new contract that incorporates the statutory law in effect, I think it needs to be clarified that there are certain renewals that constitute new contracts, certain renewals that don't. The cancellation statute provides a mandate that the policy contract has to last 2 years unless the insured consents, unless there's no payment or premium, and then there's any contract after that would be new if those conditions existed or if the 2-year period is finished if you have a new contract. I think it needs to be clarified because I think there's a lot of confusion surrounding this issue. Companies that take the position that Benson did stand for the proposition that there are term contracts not subject to the cancellation statute, it will be easier for them to circumvent the requirements of the statute and just make their contracts like the one in Benson, just make them for a set period, and they would not be subject to the statute and the protections it affords consumers. In conclusion, the amicus respectfully request that the court revisit and clarify its decision in Benson and find that Ohio's cancellation statute applies to every automobile insurance policy. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rosenthal. Mr. Anthony.
Please, court, counsel, my name is Carl Anthony. I'm a law firm owner of Aaron Columbus, and I represent Colonial Penn in this case. To get right to the point of what our position is, which apparently is going to be one of the first questions anyway, let me clarify what my position is. It is our position that under Rock v. Farmers Group of Companies, which refers specifically to Denson and the holding of Denson, the policy issued to George and Marie Wolfe on December 12, 1994, constituted a qualifying renewal, if you will, or a new policy, a renewal which constitutes a new contract of insurance, as the court put it in Ross, and thereby adopted and incorporated the statutory changes effected under Senate Bill 20 in October of 1994. The accident in this case occurred in April of 1995, And accordingly, what we have is a situation where the policy enacted, or effective in December of 1994, adopts the Senate Bill 20 changes, and that is the law that applies, which is why we've argued that Marie Wolf was not entitled to underinsured motorist coverage.
And what you said was, this is a qualifying renewal, therefore a new policy. To me, those terms are contradictory. It's either a renewal or it's new.
There is absolutely no consistency between any of the courts, whether it be this court or the Court of Appeals, on what terminology really ought to be used. I think if I read Ross correctly, the court was attempting to say that if you have a brand new policy of insurance issued for the very first time, that is the contract that you look to when there is an accident right after that. However, if you have, and this is where we get wishy-washy in the language, if you want to call it a renewal, if you want to call it a renewal that constitutes a new policy of insurance, if somehow some intervening issuance of coverage, put it that way, is issued to an insurer, and that constitutes under the law of Ohio a new policy of insurance, or is treated as a new policy of insurance, then the party's rights to contract have not been impaired. And that, I believe, is what Ross stood for. We believe that the policy language in the December 1994 policy issued to the Wolves qualified as a new contract of insurance under the law as we read it.
To clarify, why wouldn't we just do what the Fifth District said? We follow the statute. You issue a policy, it's for 2 years, even if you renew it every 6 months. At the end of the two-year period, if you renew it, whatever you want to call it, continue it, in a force, it is a new policy again for a two-year period. Isn't that what the statute says?
Well, I don't believe so, and that leads me to the next thing I wanted to talk about, which is the two-year policy period as a matter of law, which if you rule in favor of the appellants in this case, you apparently have to adopt. It is our position that the statutory language is absolutely clear that there is no requirement for a two-year policy period as a matter of law. The statute is written with the word or inserted between the first and the second clause. The first part of that statute says, every automobile insurance policy shall be issued for a policy period of not less than 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
If they stop there and put a period there, that would be absolutely correct. There would be nothing less than a two-year policy period. Now, I think with the statute as it's written and with the history of insurance law in Ohio, not only would most of the courts would be surprised, I think the legislature would be surprised, and I think that every insurance company and most of the insurers in the state of Ohio would be surprised to find out that every insurance policy issued for the last who knows how many years has been invalid because it has been written for a policy period different than 2 years. What the statute goes on to say is it has to be issued for a policy period not less than 2 years or guaranteed renewable for successive policy periods totally not less than 2 years. What the legislature has done has indicated that during the first 2 years of issuance of a policy or coverage to an insurer, that insurer needs to be protected. That gives the insurer some breathing room, gives the insurer a chance to get with the company and establish a record. And the legislature has done that by enacting 3937-31A and says, when you first issue coverage to somebody, insurance company, you have to do it either for 2 years or you have to keep policies in effect for a full 2 years. You can do that in terms of six-month policies. You can do that in terms of one-year policies.
But it has to be for 2 years.
It has to be for a continuous period of 2 years during that first two
and then, years. And then you can sever it at that time. But if you insure them again, then it starts a two-year period again. I mean, your own policy contemplates that. No. The one in the Fifth District. I haven't looked at your policy yet, but the one in the Fifth District specifically spells out the guarantee period is from December 2nd, 1993 to December 2nd, 1995.
That is exactly correct.
And your policy says that too.
And our policy has nothing of that sort in it. Our policy specifically indicates that it's written for a specific policy period, in this case 1 year. And the policy was initially issued, or the coverage was initially issued to the Wolves back in 1983. Now, all of the policy language has not been before any court. We've had some declaration sheets, and we have the policy that was issued between 1994 and 1996, or 1995.
Counsel, if I understand your argument, if this had been a brand new policy of insurance, that
this is really a perfect case for him.
Fifth district.
Unbelievable. District authority.
you would be caught in the 2 year window.
If this was the first initiation of coverage by the insurer to the insured, and the policy was issued, let's say, in January 1994, 8 months or whatever it is before Central Point was affected, we could not have incorporated the statutory change until 2 years later, because that's what 3937-31 says. It says you can't reduce coverages during the first 2 years of policy period.
So you agree with opposing counsel that statutorily, when you take Ross together with the statute, a change in the law, or a brand new policy, you get a 2 year later.
If you have
coverage, can't be modified.
I agree to the extent, Your Honor, that this would be an initiation of coverage for the first time through an insurer.
So your company couldn't come along after the new statute was enacted and at the first anniversary date of this new policy send out a modified provision saying you will change the statute.
According to the express terms of the statute, Your Honor, that would require the consent of the insurer. But that's not what's before this court.
I understand.
Right.
Let's go to your policy and the language that we apparently don't have, nobody's talked about. This policy started back in 1983.
The policy that coverage was initially issued to the Wilson in 1983. And it was continued through various policies until the last policy, which was issued in 1970.
How do you come out if you do 2 years, 2 years, 2 years up to the present time?
If you accept the argument that there are mandatory 2 year policy periods and they're successive, then the appellant is correct.
You come out on the wrong end.
We come out on the wrong end.
Exactly.
And that's
because of the way the original anniversary started out.
That's correct, which is solely fortuitous, I suppose, in this case.
Following up with Justice Piper's question, that, I guess, is something that appears to be missing from the statute, and that is it speaks to that this should be renewable for not less than 2 years. It doesn't say an successive two-year period. That's really what we'd need to have, is that the word successive only is as to a two-year period and not successive two-year periods thereafter.
Absolutely correct, Your Honor. What we say, what we see in the statute is nothing which requires continuation of the two-year period after the first 2 years of coverage is initiated to an insurer. And what appellants have attempted to do is argue that the public policy behind the statute requires this court to interpret the statute to include that language. And it is our position that that argument is simply faulty. The argument that they use in the briefs that you will read and probably have read at this point is that that the public policy of the legislature in enacting this statute, this particular statute 31A, was to prevent uninsured motorists from driving on the roads. Realistically, it's to prevent insurers from having their policies canceled without their knowledge. Now, in enacting this statute, the legislature enacted not only 3937-31, but all the way from 3937-30 through 3937-39. You know, numbers in there, but 3939. And those were all enacted at the same time. And the purpose of the entire statutory scheme, all of the statutes put together, is to make sure that insurers don't have their policies canceled on them without their knowledge. This is only one small portion of the protection given to insurers. I don't know that I term this a consumer protection statute, but I won't quibble with that term. But what is provided in 31A is the first 2 years of protection. After that time, there are still provisions which relate to cancellation, which say that insurance companies cannot cancel without significant restrictions. They have to do it in writing. They have to include certain language in the cancellation provisions. They have to, if they're going to non-renew, they have to give you a certain time for non-renewal. So we have a slew of statutes that was enacted by the legislature at one time to provide this protection. To focus solely on 31A and say that this has to be read to provide successive policy periods or it's absurd is simply incorrect.
Your position is that every 6 months this is a new policy.
That solely depends on the language of the policy.
But that's your position here today, as I read your brief.
This is your policy opinion. All I can tell you is that the policy in issue is a new policy by the very terms.
If that is the case, then would you not have to issue a new document rather than just a declaration sheet? You have to give a new policy every time you say it's a new policy, whether it's 6 months or annually, a year. Within the two-year period, it becomes a new policy, you say. Don't you have to give a new policy, a whole new document? Because all they ever send you is just your declaration sheet, your renewal sheet. That's the first place. The second is more important. Then don't you also have to offer 39-37-18 protection again and get rejection? So every new policy, if we take your position, every company either gets a rejection or by operation of law, 39-37-18 goes into it because it's a new policy.
Let me see if I can jump back to the first one first to get to the second one. I believe the first question, and correct me if I get this wrong, was, and I'm sorry, I don't recall the first question at this point. I think that the point is sending a new policy. Historically, I don't believe this court or any court has required any particular formality with respect to a new policy in this context, whether it's a qualifying renewal or a reinstatement coverage or something of that sort. There's no formal requirements. And there's no formal requirement that ought to be imposed upon insurers and insurance companies in this particular situation. The second question, I'll be honest, Your Honor, I have not examined the issue. I know that that was an issue in the Hoskins case, which this court addressed and which counsel would have me believe overruled Denson. And in that situation, I was an old statute, and I'll be honest, I don't know the terminology and what exactly is required for...
Well, it says every policy of insurance issued in the state of Ohio must offer this coverage. And we have said if you don't offer the coverage and have a rejection, then it's included as a matter of law in the policy. And it would seem to me if it's a new policy, it's got to comply with 39-37-18. I really didn't think you wanted to argue the position. I read your brief and I thought he wants this to be a new policy. That means he's got to offer uninsured motorist coverage every time if it's a new policy, because that's what the statute requires.
I would have to look at the statutory language to respond to that. Our position that the renewal or the policy issued on October 12, 1994, adopted Senate Bill 20 into this, and we'd ask you to affirm the Court of Appeals decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Anthony. Mr. Rosenberg, you say it's 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And that's what this is all about. For the date. That's why
I think we may be able to resolve any possible ambiguity on the statute, even though the statute says every policy, and I think that's clear enough. If we take a look at the B-4 section of the statute, and I'll read it to you. It says, an insurer is refusing for any reason to renew a policy upon its expiration at the end of any mandatory period. Well, we know that they can't refuse to renew it every 6 months under the A section of the statute. It's because they have to renew it for at least a 2-year period of time. So there's only one way to read B-4, and that's got to be every 2 years. You cannot read it any other way that I'm able to figure out. And so even if there's some kind of ambiguity in A, which I don't think that there is.
Why wouldn't that make sense that 4 refers to any less than 2-year renewal as permitted by the second phrase of 1 of A? You know, renewable for successive periods totaling not less than 2 years. That contemplates 4 6-month renewal periods.
Let's take the hypothetical. Let's say under 4, the insurer wants to refuse to renew it at 12 months. Can they do this under A? And the answer is clearly no.
No.
They can't do that.
Yes, right.
So in looking at B-4, an insurer refusing to renew a policy at the end of any mandatory period, what the mandatory period is it talking about here? Is it the 6 months or is it the 2 years? Well, obviously it refers to the 2-year mandatory period. If you read it as a 2-year mandatory period, then that means that renewal
well,
in this particular case refers to every 2 years.
But four, B4, are we talking about B4?
Because
everything under B is about what it does not prohibit. The statute does not prohibit.
You're right. They can renew it every 2 years if they want. That's what the B4
it doesn't does. Prohibit an insurer's refusing to
correct.
Renew.
A 2-year period. The insurance company can say, you don't want to renew it for you.
That's right.
One thing.
If it complies with 34. If that effort complies with 34, which is the...
That's right.
The, right. Okay. What's...
Now, the one thing you have to remember in terms of public policy here is opposing counsel says that this is purely a cancellation, that we're pretending to prevent cancellation without knowledge. It's not true. Because you wouldn't have the time element in here, and you wouldn't have the substantive elements. You wouldn't have protection for policy period, policy coverages, and all that, if this were only about cancellation. That's why this is a consumer protection statute, not just a cancellation statute.
Thank you, Mr. Rosenberg.
Thank you.
Case is submitted. You'll be advised.